And we'll get into this particular study this morning, and it is Real Christianity. And I do apologize. I get most of my material from Striving Together, and this particular study did not have a book.
I think every single time we've done a study, you guys had a book. You got to take that book home. You've got to keep that book for whatever reason, free of charge. And I'm blessed by that because some churches actually can't afford even material. So it's so nice that this church is able to do that and give you guys books. But again, I do apologize. So there will be little pamphlets, front and back papers. Figure out a way how you can keep those. I know some of you that have been in my classes before have actually still kept your books, which is good because I think there's a lot of good material in there to always reference and to always, look through, look at the title. And if you're going through something in your life, you can definitely look at that title and realize, wow, yeah, Lord, I remember that class. Let me look through that and really get some good instruction and structure and scripture from God's word and for whatever you might be going through. But again, this lesson and this particular study is called Real Christianity, and we're going to focus on different topics throughout these next 13 weeks. But again, man, let me tell you, if you get the PowerPoint up and running, that'd be great. So I always try to have a particular verse that we reference, and I need to change that to white, and I'll do that for next time. But I think the class verse for this 13 week should be Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If he gave himself for me, the least that I can do is give myself to him. And in whatever aspect that might be, if that aspect is just living for Christ and doing your best and reading God's word and being in prayer, attending church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, get involved in different aspects of church, maybe programs, the youth group. I know Pastor, he loves the youth, he grew up around the youth and teaching the youth, but it would be nice to see a young couple who would step up and take the youth, right? And that would give Pastor an opportunity to do something else, and I know that's probably on his heart and his mind. Just get involved. Get involved in Awana, just if you can. I know some of us, we work, we're traveling, we've got stuff on Wednesdays. It is what it is. But for those that possibly can, get involved. Get involved whatever aspect. Get involved in the ladies' ministry. Get involved in the men's group. Get involved whatever you can get involved in. Get involved because at the end of the day, the Lord's coming soon. And it's going to be all over with. We're going to be with him in eternity, and it's going to be a good time. Amen. But again, we've got work to do. We've got to realize that. For us that are still working, yes, we've got a ministry to be a witness to those in our jobs, right? But at the end of the day, we still have more work to do outside of work, and that is to work for our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Amen? Yeah. So, turning your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the next slide is kind of cool. I think that's the next one. Anyways, yeah, that's that one. That means just basically the topic of this particular lesson. You're like, convoluted Christianity, what is that? Watered down. Okay, anybody else? Sherman's got his wheel spinning up there. He's thinking. It's been going on for... Right, prosperity gospel, right? Meaning, yeah, exactly. Brother Clark, you said...
They add to the Bible.
They add to the Bible, right? Which is a huge no-no, right? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Laura? Yeah, exactly. They muddy down Christianity. And what happens in turn is that those that do need the Lord, that are seeking, that are looking, man, it gets convoluted, it's muddy, it's works salvation, it's cutting yourself salvation, it's hurting yourself, which Catholics do that, because I've lived it, I've been there, I was around Catholicism for 13 years of my life growing up in the mission field. I've seen people at the church to pray for a little statue that magically was always appearing on this particular rock who Mary had used to put there. Like, what? It is really convoluted. And what do they call themselves? Christians, right? The Mormons call themselves Christians. Who else? I mean... Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves Christians. I mean, it has just got so convoluted. And people are confused. People are going to hell because of confusion. So us at Cornerstone Baptist Church, we have to make sure that we present the gospel in the way that this Bible says it's supposed to be given. But it pollutes their opportunity to get saved. Does that make sense? Okay. If I'm a visitor and I'm sitting in Sherman's chair as a visitor, this is where I always sit every Sunday morning. I got visitors sitting there. Hey, it's nice to meet you, but you know what? I need you to sit over there. That's my pew. Let's don't do that, okay? And I said, it says here, welcome to our church, even though you're sitting in our family pew. Now, most of you guys do really well. You guys kind of move around. Some have their spot. We're really bad because we're always like five or six down over there. And like, it just feels weird sitting over here. I don't know. We should change it up. But we've always sat over there. I don't know why. I guess because if pastor's looking at us, we're on the right side. But for us, I'm sitting on the left, so that's not, I don't want to be left. Anyways, we'll leave it at that. But amen. So if you just hold that slide right there, and let's turn and look at some scripture this morning. We'll look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Whew. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This particular passage of scripture is talking about the restoration of Israel. If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, you see where, man, just Israel was doing wicked things and just moving away from the Lord and doing things that even people that were not saved were blushing at what they were doing in regards to sin, right? And here, this particular passage just shows restoration. The Lord wants restoration within the church. He wants to see souls saved. But man, Christianity, yes, over the centuries, you could almost say that there has been an identity theft to Christianity, right? People have taken it and they've run with it. And that's all because of Satan. That's his main goal, is to convolute it and make it not what it is. I mean, you could almost say Christianity, per se, the term, has been hijacked, wouldn't you say? I think so. But we'll look at a few things this morning. So the next slide is just in reference to three things that I want you to take away from this particular lesson. Number one is understand how God sees us as a part of his bride, right? Amen to that, because he is the groomsman and we are the bride ready to be taken up, right? Amen? Yeah. Yep, okay. Number two is learn who the main culprits for confusion of Christianity are. And those are the three bullet points that we'll look at this morning. And number three is recognize that Jesus came not to give a religious system, but to give abundant life with a personal relationship with God. It's not a religion that saves you. It's not a religion that you develop a relationship with. It's the relationship that you have with your Savior, Jesus Christ, trusting him with what he did on the cross for you through his word and through prayer. Yeah. Right. Okay? It's not religion. Oh, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to the Baptist church over there on Prairie, Cornerstone Baptist Church. Great church. Love for you to come. Oh, that religious organization over there. Oh, yeah, okay. No. No, we are a bunch of believers that have a relationship with our Savior. Come and check us out, right? Anyways, but number three, recognize that Jesus came not to give a religious system, but to give abundant life with a personal relationship. So hopefully, every one of you this morning has a personal relationship with your Savior, and I believe all of you do. And it's so important that we do, so we can then spread the gospel to the rest of this world, into Hayden, into Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene, and so on. The next slide, I think that one is going to be number one. We'll get to that here in a minute. But look at Romans chapter 8. You don't have to turn there. And it might be in your pamphlet, I'm not sure. But it says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Man. So here we are to our right. We have a young couple that is getting married here in November 4th. And man, I know, Morgan, I don't know if you could tell me, I'll put you on the spot. When was the first time you ever thought about being a bride? When you were like 12, okay? Right. So, and you wanted that moment, you wanted to be there, and you wanted to see, of course, Chris will be standing up front. I know we're still looking on the logistics and everything. But anyways, he will be looking at you. You will be looking at him like, wow, I cannot wait. I'm going to marry this guy. And I'm going to be staring at Chris with just, yeah, fiery darts. Yeah, right. Take care. Anyways, but that took a process. Even before that, just longing to be together, there's a process, right? There's a process of getting ready. There's a process. It can be difficult, you know, putting the shoes on, the dress on, and the hair. It can be exhausting, right? It can be. I know for sure it has. It can be very just a lot of work to do. But at the end of the day, when you see each other, I mean, it's just like the church, and when we see our Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, we made it. It's going to be good, right? Same kind of thing, and I love what it says here. Jesus is our perfect Redeemer. It says, wishing he would quickly remove you from this present struggle called life and fulfill his ultimate promise of redemption and perfection, right? Eternal hope, heaven, freedom. Man, I mean, what a great picture that a wedding does pose when you think of what Scripture says in relation to him and us, right? It's awesome. This is what is to be a real Christian. By grace, I am rescued into the redemptive relationship with Jesus, promised an eternity of perfection, but constrained to wait with the patience for God's eternal purpose to unfold. Okay? We have a job to do. We got work to do. It's going to be hard. It's going to be struggle. We got to, you know, kind of per se, like we talked about with Morgan. You got to do your hair. You got to put the good clothes on. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm hoping all of you understand that it'll be over and we get to see our Savior face to face. So we've got to put the hard miles in. We got to work hard. We got to do what we got to do. But at the end of the day, when you see your Savior, because he's come for you, yeah, it's going to feel good. Amen. If you are a Christian, do you really understand and enjoy your Christian journey, your Christian life? And we'll look at some different things this morning. But I love what it says here. The victory in Jesus can be overcome by failure in itself, right? If we just have victory in Jesus, he can work everything else out. And most of you are probably thinking this morning, yeah, I've got a lot going on. Work's just, you know, killing me, or I've got this, that, and the other. Just know that there's victory in Jesus, right? Just know that for sure. Mm. The Christian life, if you purpose in your heart, can be joyful and it can be an exciting journey.
Well, you don't know what's going on in my life. I'm so busy. I got so much going on. My health is just not going so well. And, you know, I don't know, I just can't make it to church tonight because I'm tired. I don't, you know, like,
get over it. Right. Just get over it. Right. Because at the end of the day, the Lord will look on your heart and see that, you know what, yes, this life's hard. Yes, I've got to deal with medical issues. Yes, I got to deal with work on Monday. Yes, I mean, I'm dealing with work right now. And I Lord, moving it aside, I have more important things to do right now, right? Let it go. Get your boots on, strap them up, and let's get to work. No matter your age. I don't care how old you are or what you do, if you're retired or not, if you're working or not, whatever it might be, Lord has something for you at the rest of this year. This year's been great. I had a good conversation with Pastor. I think it was on Friday. We had some coffee, and I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, man, this year's been good. It's been really good. I enjoy the missions conference beyond measure. I enjoy the preaching conference with Brother Ouellette. I enjoy the fair booth when we can go. And man, I'm just having a good time. And I'm hoping you feel the same way. But I really enjoyed this year. It's been just absolutely amazing. It's because of what the Lord has done for us. And it's because of our faithfulness. But I truly enjoyed it. It's been a good year so far. And I praise the Lord for that. But being a Christian is overwhelmingly wonderful. It can be. It sure can. Yes, just take it. So here we go. But we know that the struggle can be difficult. Our life can be difficult. So four things. Take time to regroup yourself. take a breath, orient your heart to God's word. That's where it's going to start, right here, right? And don't give up. Just like I said, well, you know, Lord, I just don't know. I'm just going to give up. I want to take some time off of church. I'm just going to, you know, do my thing. Don't give up. Don't give up. We don't have time to give up. I like the illustration here. I'll just tell you in regards to how Christianity has been hijacked. Good illustration. It says, every year, more than 10 million Americans are victims of identity theft. Isn't that crazy? And I see it at work all the time, a lot of different things. And we had, there's this one individual in 2001, and man, this young guy actually got hijacked, all his credit cards and all that. There were, he was racking up accounts, and it even says here, they put Lowe's before Home Depot. It says Lowe's, Home Depot, Sears, others. He bought cars. This guy actually ended up spending $265,000 charged to all these guys' accounts. And it took so long for Harris to get his name right, but it took him like $140,000 in debt that he had to kind of work through. And it's just crazy how, man, identity theft can happen so quick. And same goes for Christianity, right? It's just that identity theft of the word Christianity has gotten so bad. Excuse me. So we'll look at number one. Culprit number one is religion. And we just kind of talked about that, right? How religion, man-made traditions. Let me tell you, like, if any of you had the opportunity to go to a foreign field and just see how wicked and how bad other religions are. And I think Roman Catholicism had just completely ruined Christianity. But we know God is bigger, right? He's bigger than that. And let me tell you, man, I had a good group of young, very respectful young men that were dressed nice, just a good group of guys that came through the fair, and we started to get into the Word. We talked about the Roman, and most of them were Roman, they're both Catholic, and they cannot get out of their head that it's through works. Like, no, we have to do works. Well, what happens if I murder somebody? I'm like, okay, well, then they said, well, then I'll lose my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I'm like, no, you won't. And I put it this way. I said, well, let's say you're my son, right? I said, well, if you're my son right now and you commit murder, are you still my son no matter what you have done?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Do you think that me as the Father should forgive you for what you've done? Yeah. Well, our Heavenly Father will always forgive you no matter what you have done, and nothing can separate us from Him, right? John chapter 10, verse 28. Nobody can pluck him out of his hand. Anyways, we're going back and forth, and I kind of just had to leave it at that, because at the same time, you got to really use discretion and realize there might be somebody else coming around that might really want to hear and get saved, and you're kind of doing this battle thing. Sometimes you got to let it go and just let the Lord and the scripture work, right? But anyways, many people grow up in a religious structure that was oppressive and confusing. It is. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, right? And that is Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. So, turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll look at, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will deliver in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen to that. Okay, so number two is Christianity itself. Christianity itself. Those who claim to know and follow Jesus are often his worst representatives. I'm always saying words like that. Anyways, worst representatives. And I love the quote here. Gandhi, right? Gandhi, I guess, did he call himself a Christian? No, he was a Buddhist. I don't know, whatever. But this is what he said. And this is actually a quote. I'd be a Christian if it were not for the Christians. Oh, that's sad. And look at these five little things that if you were to ask the average person, to describe the average Christian, this is what they would say. A person who thinks he is better than others, right? Holier than thou. You know, you might have heard that, right? Oh, you're just, why aren't you drinking? Why aren't you partying with us? What, you holier than thou? You know, whatever. A person who is hypercritical or doesn't practice what he preaches. Ooh. A person who is confrontational, pious, and likes to argue. A person who is narrow-minded and out of touch with real-life issues. Oh, you're one of those homeschool kids that just stays home and just does nothing else and not, doesn't get any kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, see, you guys are paying attention. Amen. And, right, you know, like, no, we're not. Anyways, and number five, a person who is one-dimensional or only interested in other Christians. Oh, yeah, you only just hang out with your people. What do you mean, my people? You want to be one of my people? Come on, I'll show you the gospel. You know, but yeah, anyways. But again, it says here, throughout the New Testament, God instructs Christians to live in a way that is consistent with the gospel in this very purpose, in this purpose that we live in, right? We have to be consistent with what God says. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There you go. We have to ensure that we practice what we preach, what God says in his word is that we follow it. And then if anybody wants to give us any kind of grief, you know what? We show them God's love, right? Because Jesus is our hope. And there are a lot of people that need hope. And Jesus has that hope. Number three, culprit number three is the culture. The culture. Oh, man. The culture can just be just crazy, right? I like what it says here. In addition to this, many people co-opt the name. Politicians like to throw Christian into a campaign to grow their voting base, right? You've heard that. Athletes use Christian to advance their career and claim God's favor. And sometimes you can kind of get an idea, particularly with athletes during interviews, you kind of get them, that you hear them say, yeah, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. You think that's better than somebody say, oh, yeah, the Lord's been good to me, whatever. You know, you kind of have an idea. Businesses claim Christian to build customer relationships and foreign integrity. Christian can be merely a term of convenience, can it? Neatly morphed into a variety of situations to fit the necessity of a character or agenda. Honestly, Christians is one of the most hijacked and misrepresented name in human history. Would you guys agree to that? Yeah, I think so too. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Whew. Man, he is doing, and he is working overtime right now to really just convolute the message that we're trying to give those that are lost, right? Authentic Christians find their belief in the Bible as an absolute source of truth. So do you, this morning, hold to the absolute truth of what God says in His Word? Okay. Do you? Absolutely. Okay, there's a few. Yeah, we have to. We have to stand by this. We have to ensure that when your convictions are strong, it's because of God's Word. And you have to stand to the truth and always be ready to give an answer to those that ask, right? Sure do. I know I kind of put my own words to that, but yes, we have to. The next slide, in conclusion, John 10:10, I love this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. This question I'll ask you this morning. Would you like to experience more of Jesus' abundance? Turn your Bibles, and I didn't make a note, so we're going to turn our Bibles to Luke. I don't know why I referenced this verse, but we're going to all find out together, because now I don't know why I did it. But the Lord knows. Now I know. Now I see it. I love it. If you want to experience a more abundant life in our Savior, okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Thank you. Luke 10, 27. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and with and thy neighbor as well." Be all in. No matter your age, no matter what you do in life, no matter where you are in life, be all in for him. Give him all the honor and glory. Help us to get this world to understand real Christianity for what it stands for, and that is what? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get them saved, get them discipled, get them baptized, get them into church. I'm telling you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you name it. Look at all these rows that we can fill with people in here on a Sunday morning for Sunday school and get them in here and get them to grow in the Lord. Can you imagine having this building packed out? Man, I don't know about you, but I would love to see that. Love to see that. Because the time is near when Jesus is coming for us and we will no longer be here. And that is going to be a good day, just like the example of the bride and the groom. And it's going to be a good day. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So lesson two next week, we'll look at the real Jesus, and he will look at him. He's a person and not a tradition. He's a person, just like you and I are, right? He was a person. He came down to this earth to save sinners, and he's a person, and we'll look at the real Jesus. So do me a favor this week. Make sure that you take into consideration Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. No matter what you're doing, give a tract out. If you don't feel very comfortable about talking to someone, the least you can do is give them a tract, right? All you can do. That's all you can do. You get yourself a cup of coffee. You're paying with cash. Maybe put a couple more bills in there for a tip. Put the money inside the track, give the track to the time that we show this world what real Christianity is all about here at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Aiden, Idaho, because it is time to get to work. It's time. We got this. We can do this, okay? And I would really appreciate, and I would really love for you guys to come back tonight. I know it's kind of raining, it's kind of, maybe it'll clear up a little bit, but being around fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and have a little fellowship, I know we really can't do s'mores because of fire restrictions, and it's also wet and kind of gross. So we'll see what happens tonight, but I think it'll be a good time to get everybody together. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for this lesson one. Help us to remember this world has really convoluted and really just gotten the word Christianity all mixed up. But Lord, it takes us to show this world what you're all about and to show you what real Christianity is. And like I said, Lord, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. Our testimonies the way they should. Help us to live in a way that we should. Help us to have good testimonies at work. Help us to give 110% at work, Father, that so people see there's a difference and want to know why. And Father, again, I thank you for those that are already retired but they're still doing stuff for you, Father. They're praying. They're seeking your will for this church. They're helping where they can. And Lord, I love this church. I thank you for the members. I thank you for those that have come. And Lord, it's just been a blessing for me. And Lord, I thank each and every one of them. And Lord, give us a good morning. Pray for the next service. Father, be with Pastor. He's bringing forth the word. Pray that we'll have our Bibles open, ready to receive it, and our hearts also ready to open for what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.